apologize to all of those on Facebook. We lost all of our connections for our internet. We lost our connection for YouTube as well as TalkShoe. So I'm going to just try to continue this broadcasting on TalkShoe only and not on YouTube because of the bad signal. Good evening, Alan Taylor. It's good to see that you're with us. We just came back on board. We're doing a study through the 20th chapter of John. The first part of our service was Mark, my son, and Rosette, my wife, and myself. We were singing some hymns and some of the old psalms. And Mark had read through the first 16 verses of chapter 20 in the Authorized King James Version of the Bible, chapter 20 of the book of John, and this is the account of the resurrection. And I had just started going down through verse by verse when we got cut off from YouTube and Facebook, and neither one of them liked to hear the gospel or the resurrection. So, okay, I'm going now to the 11th verse. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. So she actually looked into the tomb. And when she looked in the tomb, it says she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And when she had thus said, she turned back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She knew the gardener didn't know her, okay? She knew the gardener didn't know her. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. I had a person tell me one time that they were listening to that passage in the 17th verse on audio tape, and when it came to that 17th verse, it had a tremendous impact on them because what Jesus said to Mary when he said, go to my brethren. Jesus called us brethren, you know, and he said that Alexander Scurby, who he was listening to, emphasize that strongly, you know, go to my brethren. And he said that just leaped out at him. Welcome aboard, Dan Baderick Maiko. Welcome aboard. We're glad to have you back with us. Sorry we got disconnected there briefly. Verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord. Can you imagine what must have gone through the disciples' minds when Mary Magdalene showed up and said, I've seen the Lord? They probably thought, what is she going out of her mind? And then she said that he had spoken these things unto her. Well, then it says that same day, being the first day of the week again, still the same day, when the doors were shut, notice that, the doors were shut. Why were the doors shut? The disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. That's why they were shut. There's a lot of people that have kept their doors shut right now as far as openly speaking about the travesties of Zionism and the false doctrines of the false church and the supposed statehood of Israel being God's chosen people when they're rejecting Jesus Christ as their Messiah and worshiping the Kabbalah and the Talmud. A lot of people's doors of their mouths are shut. And why are the doors of their mouths shut? For fear of the Jews. The same day of evening being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus. Even when you are fearful, Jesus will come in the midst of you and give you comfort and consolation and encouragement. Then came Jesus and stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace be unto you." Christ always knows what we have need of when we're fearful, when we are raising our voice against the tides of lies in our society and our culture. God sends his Holy Spirit and says, "Peace be unto you." And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Maybe that's what we need to do again. Is proclaim the 53rd chapter of Isaiah over and over. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and by his stripes we are healed. Do you hear that, Zionist? Do you hear that, all of you synagogue of Satan Jews who are denying Jesus Christ as the Messiah? Then, what was the result of this after they saw his hands and feet? What were the result of it? Then were the disciples glad. Whenever we hear the truth of the gospel, we're glad. It gives us gladness of heart. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." That's why I'm proclaiming this tonight. This is what Christ said. "As my Father sent me, even so send I you." I don't necessarily like it. I don't like the flack I get from people when I start coming against Zionism. Or when I start coming against the whore of the Roman Catholic Church. Or I start coming against ecumenical movements. They're all trying to come under one umbrella. But you know what? Christ said, "Peace I give unto you, not as the world give I unto you." Now, a lot of people say, well, the only time that they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost was in the second chapter of Acts. I think not. Welcome aboard, Paul Richburg. Glad to have you with us. Let's read the 22nd verse. "And when he had said this," in other words, "Peace be unto you," "when he said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Isn't that interesting? "Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." And then we have the account of doubting Thomas. And it says Thomas was not there when this happened. And so the other disciples therefore said unto Thomas, in verse 25, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand in his side, I will not believe." You know, he was being logical. He was being rational. You're telling me that someone came back from the dead? And after 8 days, again, his disciples were with him, within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." He did not come through the door. This isn't the first time that he passed through. the crowds when they were trying to lay hands on him. He had all power in heaven and earth. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold thy hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Tom answered and said to him, my Lord, my God. How could Thomas remain in an unbelieving state when he had Christ standing right in front of him, showing him his hands and his feet and the wounds in his side? How could he be unbelieving? But what was Jesus' answer? He says, because you've seen me, you believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. That's us. You know, there's a special blessing that those who have not seen Jesus physically, there's a special blessing that he's given us. He said, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Have you ever thought about that? Many other, it says, many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples. It would be interesting to know what those other signs were. There's a reason why he chose not to convey what they were. But it says, but these are written. What are these? These that are just named in this chapter about him appearing to the disciples, him appearing to Mary Magdalene, him appearing to Thomas. These are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. This is good news for us. This is good news that's been proclaimed. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He's seated at the right hand of God. He's making intercession for us. He's coming again for us. And all of these fakers, all these false teachers, all of these false proclaimers, one of these days that they're not going to have an answer when Jesus Christ comes. It says they are going to look upon them, him whom they have pierced. They're going to cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? But for us, we have a great hope, both steadfast and sure. He entered once into the holy place and sat down. And he is the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. I never get tired of proclaiming it. All of his elect were chosen in him from the foundation of the world. And I refer you back to the golden chain of salvation. You say, where is that? You know, everybody wants to talk about other parts of the Bible as it relates to the gospel. The best place I have found is the golden chain of salvation, beginning in Romans 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who could be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him for also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. When someone calls you an antichrist, when someone calls you a wolf in sheep's clothing, and you're proclaiming the golden chain of salvation over and over again, you can be comforted by these wonderful scriptures. Who shall separate us, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril of sword, as written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's our answer to the false accusers. The Bible tells us Satan is the great accuser of the brethren. And so, there's my answer to my accusers. Nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. May you have a blessed evening, is my prayer. God bless.